This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
In a typical criminal court case, anywhere in the country, doesn't matter what county, what state, it always begins with a prosecutor standing up, a man or a woman, and making what's called the opening statement, not the opening argument, but the opening statement, saying, "This is the case we're presenting against," and they usually will point to the person and say, "Against this man, this woman, or these defendants," whatever the case may be. "And this is the case we're going to lay out for you. And here's what we're going to prove." They don't give arguments because they would have to present evidence, but they make a statement. "We're going to prove this, this, and this. We've got 5 witnesses we're going to call that can substantiate the fact that they saw this person at this place or that place. We have other forensic evidence we're going to bring out into this court case, and we're going to prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that this person is guilty." And then the attorney for the defense gets up and makes his or her opening statement. You say, "Why are you talking about the court case to begin a series out of Luke?" For this reason. Today, I'm going to begin this series from the Gospel of Luke by going all the way to the last chapter, chapter 24, and say, here are the conclusion statements made by Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. And everything we're going to point to in the Gospel of Luke comes out of what we're going to say in these concluding phrases that Jesus uses in the 24th chapter of Luke. So I'm beginning a series by looking at the last chapter as an introductory message. It's in Luke 24. Easy to find. It's the last chapter of the book. Matthew, Mark, Luke 24, beginning at verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus appearing to his disciples for the last time, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your mind or minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they were still did not believe because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Why did he do that? Physicality. I'm alive. This is a real body, a corporal body in front of you. He took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Here's the most important verse, folks, that I want you to go home with, because some of you need this for a husband or wife or a son or daughter or a parent. "Then Jesus opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, 'This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached.'" This is what Jesus said would be talked about in churches. It's the least talked about today in our culture. "And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God.
Well, the first part of the first message from the Gospel of Luke will continue tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
I'm going to begin with the last thought first about them worshiping Jesus after his ascension into heaven. I want to give you a new way of looking at worship. Some of you grew up where worship was liturgical. It was a liturgy that you went through. It was a religious process that you went through, and that was your worship. You know, God expects it, and this is what we've got to do. I want to suggest to you a new definition of worship. Worship is coming into the presence of the person you love. Worship is coming into the presence of the one you love. Those of you that are parents or have been parents, you remember this. Everybody goes through this. When your children are small and they're still in the crib, there's a point in your relationship with those children that if you want to see them, you have to go to them. You have to go into their room where they are in the crib and look at them, talk to them, interact with them, get them, whatever the case may be. But there comes a time when every child learns how to escape from a crib. They learn how to get out of the crib, and they come to see you. And every parent can identify with this. I can remember sleeping on my side, facing the wall one time, hearing a little rustling, opening my eyes, and 2 inches from my face is a little one looking at me, and I let out a scream of fear, but that's another story. But they came to see me. Worship is coming into the presence of someone you love. You know what? That'll give a whole new definition of worship to you when you know that when you take communion, coming into the presence of the one you love. Giving your offering, coming into the presence of the one you love. Worshiping in song, coming into the presence of the one we love. And I find it interesting that when Jesus ascended into heaven, the first thing they did was what? Worship. They worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Luke is big on the physical, bodily resurrection of Jesus. So am I. I don't get it, folks, but I have met ministers in my lifetime, I really have, who are not sure that they believe in the physical, bodily resurrection of Jesus. And I wonder, why are you in the ministry? And I don't say that sarcastically at all. I just wonder. Why would you be in the ministry telling people there's hope in Christ, but I'm not sure he's alive? I think he rose in spirit. I think he rose psychologically, but I really don't believe in the physical, bodily resurrection of Jesus. That's a travesty. And Luke is big on the physical, bodily resurrection, pointing out that Jesus said, here's my hands, here's my feet, the wounds. Do you have a piece of fish? Do you have something to eat? And he physically ate the fish to show a corporal body, a physical body, was alive. And that's significant. That's not symbolic. That's actual bodily resurrection. And then I want you to know verse 45. I want to spend some time on this because this is important. Jesus opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. You know what that means? The Lord's involved in your understanding spiritual things. That's a new thought for somebody. So many people think it's up to me. I've got to figure it out. I've got to be smart enough. I've got to think this through. And there's your intellectual process certainly is involved. But there comes a point when the Lord takes over and said, I'm going to open up your mind. Now, this is going to shock somebody today. Some of you are praying for a husband or wife to change. You're praying for a son or daughter to change. You're praying for a parent to change, a brother or sister to change. And today, I'm going to ask you to stop praying that prayer. You know what I'm going to ask you to pray for? Lord, open up his mind.
Well, that just may be an important prayer for you to pray for someone in your family. God, open up their mind to the truth of the gospel, to the truth about their sin. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
Now, this is going to shock somebody today. Some of you are praying for a husband or wife to change. You're praying for a son or daughter to change. You're praying for a parent to change, a brother or sister to change. And today, I'm going to ask you to stop praying that prayer. You know what I'm going to ask you to pray for? Lord, open up his mind. Lord, open up her mind to the truth of Scripture. Open up his mind to the truth of the gospel. And that may be the most important thing that you and I can pray for people. It may give a new way of praying and thinking. Because you know what? Why we need to do that? Because that's what people need to happen. Some of you can testify to the fact that there was a time when you had a closed mind, closed to the truth of the gospel. You know what you're closed to? The sin in your own life. Most people have an amazing capacity to deny sin in their own life. Not in your life, but or other people's lives, but in theirs. And I'm the same way. We have an amazing capacity for self-deception. And one of the holiest moments in a man's life or a woman's life when they can say three simple words, I have sinned. until that happens in your life or my life, nothing's going to happen spiritually. I have sinned. It's a holy moment. You say, well, doesn't everybody admit that? No, I know plenty of pagans and I know plenty of Christians who would say, would never acknowledge their sin. I haven't done anything wrong. It's a holy moment in your life and my life when we can say, I have sinned. Now, I want to focus on verse 46 and 47. Jesus told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer, rise from the dead, the third day, the resurrection. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning in Jerusalem. Nothing in there about five ways to be happy. Nothing in there about three ways to have a better marriage, four ways to get better gas mileage, whatever the case may be that are in sermons today. And if you look at the sermons of today, it's three ways to do this. And there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing evil. But isn't it interesting? I want to preach what Jesus said would be preached. Repentance and forgiveness of sins. Not one or the other, but both. Why? We need both. Repentance is a change of heart, change of mind. That's what it literally means, to turn. And forgiveness is something that only can be connected with Christ. Lisa Miller was an author, wrote articles for the Wall Street Journal. She wrote this years ago, so it's a little bit dated, but it's a great story. She talked about a man by the name of Kenny Lombino. Great Italian name, Kenny Lombino. Had a great job in Los Angeles. He lived in a $600,000 bachelor pad when $600,000 was a lot of money. That's a joke. It's still a lot of money. $600,000 bachelor pad. He had a Jaguar with the vanity plates. And he said, here I am. I'm 45 years old and my life isn't going anywhere. Can you believe that? You live in a $600,000 bachelor pad in Westwood, drive a Jaguar and say, my life is empty. So Kenny Lombino did something very radical. He went back to the church of his youth. And he restored a relationship with Christ. Lisa Miller, the author of the article, Wall Street Journal, said this, many people once felt a need for a formal relationship with God only when they got married, had a baby, or were about to die. Only connected with God at a wedding or a funeral or they had a baby. She said, now people in their 40s and 50s are finding themselves at the peak of their careers, wealthy, making money, but still feel that something's missing in their lives. Kenny Lombino found the only thing that could meet the needs in his life was a relationship with God the Father through the Son. Have an announcement to make. That's true for you. She said, now people in their 40s and 50s are finding themselves at the peak of their careers, wealthy, making money, but still feel that something's missing in their lives. Kenny Lombino found the only thing that could meet the needs in his life was a relationship with God the Father through the Son. Have an announcement to make. That's true for you. It's true for me. That's true for you, and it's true for me. His mind was opened up to what he needed to have on his in his life, repentance and forgiveness of sins. That's what I really believe was happening in his life. You don't hear preachers talk today about repentance. It's not politically correct. Even in some conservative churches, you'll never hear anything about people repenting. And yet that's where the hope is. Isn't that amazing? What Jesus himself, not somebody commenting on Christianity, but the founder, the person that Christianity is named after, Christ himself said, here's what's going to be preached in nations after my ascension into heaven. Repentance of sin and forgiveness. Repentance and forgiveness. Why shouldn't we preach about repentance and forgiveness today? Some of you know who Rick Warren is, minister at Saddleback Church in California. I think 30, 40,000 people attend there. I didn't know this about his wife, Kay. Kay, his wife, did a lot of counseling at the church when the church began. She writes a powerful story about one counseling situation. I was counseling a woman who was much older than me. She had some serious marriage problems, and I would do my very best to give her good advice. But when I would ask her a few days after the conversation if she'd implemented any of my suggestions, the woman always said, oh, no, no, and offered excuses why she couldn't do that or do this, what she had advised. It finally dawned on me, Kay said, She really wasn't interested in working on her marriage. What she wanted was someone to listen to her complaints. And she wanted someone to reassure her that it wasn't her fault that she was in a lousy marriage. When I realized, Kay said, that she never put into practice the earnest advice I gave her, I finally told her, call me back when you're ready to actually make some changes. And then Kay Warren says this powerful statement, it became the bedrock principle of my counseling ministry. Move with the movers and let go of those who aren't serious about doing the hard work of spiritual and relationship growth. Now I tell people why I'm declining to keep meeting with you is that you'll have the hope that you will take some initiative to buckle down and make the necessary changes. And she says this, I promise you, this is gold. This is gold in terms of Christian counseling. Is it possible that you and I have been dancing around some issues in our life, in our marriages, and in our relationships with our children, and somebody like Kay Warren needs to come along and said, when are you going to start putting into practice what the Word of God tells you to do? When are you going to start believing what the Word of God says about sin? When are you going to start repenting? When are you going to start seeking the forgiveness of Christ? Do you know one of the most important things a father does for a son or daughter, in my opinion, is to acknowledge a sin in front of them? Doesn't mean you have to tell them details. Son or daughter, I was wrong in what I did. I sinned, and I need the forgiveness of Christ. For a mother, wife and mother, to say, kids, I've sinned in this. I've made a mistake, and I've sought the forgiveness of God. You say, why do my kids need to hear that? Because someday they'll need to do the same thing. They'll need to do the same thing. Set the example in repentance and forgiveness of sins.
Well, this first message from the Gospel of Luke will continue tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
Bruce Larson's a guy I quote from time to time, one of my favorite authors. He said, in my middle years, I was taught to sail by a neighbor of mine in Florida. A kind and good man, but a determined atheist. His name was Larry. Just before his death, at the age of 82, I visited him at the hospital. I tried to tell him at the time that God was his friend. I said, Larry, what happens if when you die, you discover that there is a God in Jesus Christ who loves you? He said, Bruce, even if I find that I've been wrong all these years, I'll go into eternity with my unbelief. I'm too honorable to plead with God to take me in. I disagree with what he said. He's too proud. Not too honorable, too proud to plead with God to take me in. I tried to convince Larry that God was not playing some game, daring us to believe in him, smashing us if we don't. Even at the very last, God wants to give us proof positive that we may believe him and trust in him. What's the answer? Repentance. Forgiveness of sins. There's nothing else. If Jesus said that what the church is going to preach after for hundreds and hundreds of years, repentance and forgiveness of sins, don't you think it'd be pretty arrogant of me to say, I want to preach something else. I don't want to talk about repentance. I don't feel comfortable talking about sin or forgiveness of sins when Jesus said that's where the hope is. If you've grown up in this area of the country, you've undoubtedly heard stories about mining accidents and mine collapses where miners have been trapped. I understand there's a movie out, I think, about the mining accident of 33 miners in South America, one of the countries there, I believe. Tremendous story of survival. But I remember one particular mining accident years ago, I mean many years ago, in Kentucky or West Virginia. Number of miners trapped, and finally they established some communication. I don't know if it was through Morse code or through an intercom system or a radio, whatever the case may be. And here's what I remember. One of the miners finally was able to communicate with somebody at the top. You know what his question was? When are you going to get us out? No. How long will this take? None of that. Here's all he asked. Is there any hope? What a sentence. Is there any hope? Just tell me there's some hope. Just tell us there's a little bit of hope. Just give us something to hold on to. That's all he wanted. Folks, I believe in 2015, we're living in a culture today with what's going on in France and what happened in Mali this week and what happened around the world with ISIS and all that. People are asking, is there any hope? Is this the new normal? Is this what we're going to live with? Is this what my kids are going to grow up with? You know, multiple killings every week. Is that going to be the news of the day? The only hope that I know of in my life, in your life, is Jesus Christ. I don't know anything better intellectually to tell you. You tell people, cross your fingers and hope that it gets better? That's crazy. Well, somehow this will all work out in the... I don't think so. The only hope that I know of is to put your hope in the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus said, you're going to preach two things, repentance and forgiveness of sins. That's it. That's the message that Jesus said would be proclaimed. That's what I want to proclaim at Crossview Christian Church. That's what I want to proclaim to your life and to mine. That's where the hope is. We're making the statement, the opening statement of Luke today. It's in repentance. It's in trusting in whatever Christ did, all that he did on the cross, and claiming the forgiveness that comes only from him. Don't ever forget that.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.